Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a bi-weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polinencia, and we are glad you're here. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
Do what's right, not what works.
That sounds good.
Sounds fantastic. It's a terrible piece of advice. I'll never forget. I was a sophomore in Bible college. My brother was a senior. We were sitting in a large ministerial class, and we had a guest speaker. We had a guest speaker come in, and they were angry about something. One of the things he said was, "We need to preach from a pulpit of wood like Ezekiel. Preach from a pulpit of wood." He got up, or Ezra. "Preach from a pulpit of wood." And it's one of these days, young men, that's what he said. "One of these days, young men, you're going to be out there in the ministry. And you're going to think to yourself, you know, if I preach from a pulpit of glass, more people might get saved." He said, that's the moment where you have to ask the question, am I going to do what's right or am I going to do what works? And I'm like, wait a second, my baloney meter is going off the scale here. The big idea for this episode is a wise man will hear and will increase learning. You're going to get a lot of advice as a pastor. How do you decipher the good from the bad? We're going to talk about that in today's episode. Welcome to the Idea Talks. Hey, this is episode 73 and middle of October. It's beautiful outside. What do you think?
It's pretty.
Yeah.
I like colder weather. It's nice.
You don't like the heat as much?
I mean, both are good.
Well, we live in Vegas. We can experience both. I mean, they come and go.
Think about this for all our friends out there that are not in Vegas.
Yeah.
This is one place you don't have to really worry about the weather.
No. It's not going to snow tomorrow.
No. Torrential downpour. Earthquake, tornado, hurricane.
None of it. Heat stroke.
There's that.
Yeah, but that's it. That's it.
That's really it.
Yeah, that's all we have to worry about. You got heat stroke and you've got dust storms. Do you remember back in September we had that dust storm come through? That was insane. What was that?
I don't know,
but I got to tell you this. I hope it doesn't happen next week.
I agree.
You know why? Next week, next Tuesday, we are 1 week away from Idea Night. And I don't want anything to dampen the excitement of Idea Night. Look, man, these are all over the country now, and we have hundreds and hundreds of people that have registered already. And this is going to be a really big night. Look, if you're a pastor, ministry leader of any kind, you've got to find the closest Idea Night. And you say, but I don't know anybody there. I know that's exactly what the people in your community think when they go to your church for the first time. But they're bold enough to take that step and develop Christian community of fellowship and friendship with people they need to advance their spiritual walk. So do you. Come to an Idea Night, build the relationships necessary, and share some of the best ideas you've experienced in ministry and find ideas from others. Go to ideanetwork.church and sign up tonight.
Love it. Well, on today's episode, some very requested topics.
Yep, that's true. We've heard this over and over. What are we talking about tonight?
So the best and worst advice you've ever had as a ministry leader.
Okay.
Best or received.
Yeah. So a lot of times, Drew, we'll put out on our social media stuff for the Idea Talks specifically. We'll say, okay, what do we want to do for next episode? Any suggestions out there? And a lot of times people will come back and say best and worst advice. And that'll actually start a new thread comment right there in the section in our Facebook group. By the way, if you're not part of the Facebook group, go on and check it out. It's a great Facebook group, Idea Network, the Idea Network. But best advice and worst advice we've ever received as a ministry leader. So, well, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. The man of understanding will attain unto wise counsel. The problem is knowing the difference between good advice and bad advice. Have you gotten a lot of good advice and bad advice in your life, Drew?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Good advice. Think about the future. Marry the right person, you know? Trying to get some really bad advice.
You married the right person.
I did marry the right person.
She's pretty good.
She's great.
I'm not sure she did.
Yeah, you know, somebody once said I was a good salesman.
Yeah, that's
probably. And I was like, what is that? That's an insult.
Well, that's insulting. It's a backhanded compliment, but you did a good job because she is really great. My wife likes her anyway.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about good advice. We're going to talk about bad advice. And the best advice I could possibly give you is go by the Idea Journal 2021.
Lots of advice in there.
There is 13 chapters, which is very unlucky, knowing how close we are to Halloween. Yeah. So I'll maybe wait till November 1st and get it if you're superstitious or even a little stitious.
Got it.
Thank you.
Got him.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So does 99% of our audience.
Replay it. You'll get in a little bit.
Even if you're, yeah, that's right. Go pick up your copy of the Idea Journal 2021. Yeah, I know it's only October, but it's already being released very soon. You can actually pre-order your copy at ideanetwork.church. And 13 of some of the greatest authors we have. I mean, we've got chapters in there from Sam Rainer, from Tom Rainer, from Josh Ermler, from Kerry Newhoff, Robbie Green, Eric Akeem Smith, Eric Akeem Smith. I mean, some great chapters. Please go pick up your copy. You're going to love it. Alana Brown wrote a chapter on this one. You're going to absolutely love this edition. I think the last one in 2020 was amazing. This one surpasses it. You're going to love the copy. So go pick up a copy for yourself and your best pal and send it to them ASAP. So best advice, worst advice as a minister ever.
Are these in like order or just random order?
You know, I thought about that as I was putting it together. Let's say they're in random order.
All right, cool.
So that I don't get in trouble one way or another. Here's the first one I'll give. The first one I'll give came from my brother. He said, be you. It reminds me of the bee in Aladdin when the genie said,
sure.
you
be yourself.
Thank you so much.
Yep, you're welcome.
I'm really glad that you knew that.
Yep.
That's right. Be yourself. I preached my very first sermon. My dad let me preach my very first sermon. I think I was 17, came back from camp. You know, we had one of those youth services. Did you ever do those?
Sure.
Yeah. What did you do? Did you do what youth services, pass the plate and sing? You sang.
I did sing.
Yeah, you were a singer.
Yeah. I don't think I ever like served as an usher before. I'm pretty sure I did some congregational stuff, waving the hands and all that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I would like to go back and get some video of that. I preached my very first sermon and my brother said to me afterward, you know, all the old ladies were coming up and they're like, that was awesome.
Right.
That was fantastic. And my dad was like patting me on the back. And I asked my brother, who was 2 years older, he's 19. He was in Bible college at the time. And I said to him, what did you think? And he said, I'm not going to lie to you.
There you go.
I said, okay. He said, it's fine. He said, here's a problem, man. That wasn't you. You were pretending to be somebody else.
Mm.
And he said, I guess that's okay for now. But he said, you've got to show yourself. You have to be yourself. You have to genuinely be you in the platform. And if you're not you in the pulpit, then why would anybody want to come and hear somebody else? Why don't they just go listen to that guy?
Right. Man, I think there's probably a lot of people that need to hear that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of, no matter what industry you're in, but like specifically ministry, you think about, for how many years do they just imitate their favorite college professor, favorite college preacher or speaker or whatever? But at some point you would think like, I'm done imitating. Like I need to be myself and speak up and be who I am. I think one of my favorite quotes on that is, you know, be uniquely you because everybody else in the world's taken.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
You know, you got to realize like, you know, if you're called to a certain ministry, like God called you to that ministry. So like if you're trying to imitate somebody else, you're actually robbing the people you're ministering to because you're uniquely fitted for that craft.
Yeah.
So I like that advice. It's really good.
So I'm kind of an old soul when it comes to my preacher guys that I love. Obviously, I've got the Baptist circles that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. A lot of those guys I just love to listen to preach. And then some other ones like Adrian Rogers, Charles Stanley, James Kennedy, which you guys would not maybe even know. Some of you younger guys would have no clue who it is. But James Kennedy pastored down in Florida. And I used to listen to him when I started preaching all the time. And he was awesome. But he was very high church. He was high church Presbyterian. He would wear a big robe and he would speak like the Lord. Here's the problem. As awesome as he was, this is what I would do. I would listen to his sermons over and over, and I would just be so inspired. And I'd be like, that needs to be said to our church. That exact thing needs to be said to our church.
In that exact way.
In that exact way. Yeah. And there were sermons that I, even though I had this advice, I would go back and I would almost verbatim try to say what he said in the way he said it, with the verbose he said it, with the voice that he said it. And it just falls flat, man. It doesn't ring true. It's not you. It's not who you are. It's not right. And to realize the reason the Gospel of Mark sounds the way the Gospel of Mark is because the Holy Spirit breathed through Mark to give us that. He used the instrument. The reason John sounds like John and Matthew sounds like Matthew and Luke sounds like Luke is because even though it was the Holy Spirit of God breathing through them, it is uniquely them. And I feel that our preaching in the same way needs to be uniquely us. If you're going to draw people to Christ, you need to be able to say, as Paul said, follow me. He said this to the Corinthians, follow me as I follow Christ. And it's okay for you to look at them and be like, yeah, this is who I am. I'm just a follower of Jesus. And so use your humor if you have it. If you don't. I remember Jeff Redlin used to say that all the time. If you have humor, use it. If you don't, please don't try when I was in college. But whatever it is you that is uniquely you, be you in the pulpit. And when you are you in the pulpit, you will draw people to Jesus Christ because God will draw those people that can be drawn by you to his son.
That's good. Be you. Second one.
Second piece of advice, one of my favorite pieces of advice for ministry that I ever received was from Jim Shetler. And he used to speak to the entire class. It's not like he said this to me directly. I was just one of many young men in the room that heard him say this. Lead in your strengths and staff in your weaknesses.
Well, that's okay, but what if you don't have weaknesses?
Yeah, that's a good point. Are we talking about?
It's an entirely different conversation that we need to have. So.
Experientially for you, or you're talking about
course,
some?
Yeah,
okay, right. Now, look, if you are one who doesn't have weaknesses, that's a problem in and of itself. We've got a whole nother episode that we've got coming for you.
Yeah. Anyway,
if you have weaknesses, lead in your strengths, staff in your weaknesses. Here's what we want to do as leaders who hire is we often see the benefits of what we bring to the table, and we want to duplicate ourselves. Here's the problem. I know this. I know there are a lot of guys pastoring right now, and you are the only guy on staff, and you're thinking, I'm ready to hire somebody, and you're going to have an inclination to hire you.
Because you like you.
You say you don't like you, and I self-loathe, and I really don't. But in deep down, the Bible says no man hates his own flesh, but nurses and cherishes it. And you like what you bring to the table, and you think to yourself, if I'm good for this church, they need double me. No, they don't need double you. Look, you don't need to hire you. You already have you. Mm. You need to hire them. You need to hire somebody else. You need to find out what your weaknesses are, and you need to lead in your strengths and staff in your weaknesses. So my strengths are I'm a great public communicator. I'm a great preacher. I am a visionary. I am a leader. I am not great with finances. I am not great with organizational administration. I am not great with music. I am not great with developing a good program. I show up, for years, I show up minutes late, 3 minutes late, 5 minutes late, even to church. And the program has already started because I hired the right people. I am not great with some of these things. So realizing I did not need another Josh Tice. In fact, the very first person I ever hired was very much like me. He only lasted a year and we had to get rid of him. What you need to do is find, now I'm at the stage in my life in ministry where I have begun to say, you know, I need some other people who have these similar traits so that when I'm not around, they can fill in those blanks and they can fill in those gaps. But I think lead in your strengths, staff in your weaknesses has been one of the greatest pieces of advice I've ever received.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you fall into the trap of trying to hire somebody exactly like you, your exact strength, because they're attractive to you, right? Mm-hmm. All the things, the qualities that you admire most. Don't be surprised when you start feeling a sense of competition from them.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Because they're you, right? So I think, be willing enough to admit that you have a weakness.
Yeah.
And don't think you have to be all things, all men in this case, you know? So like, that's why, you know, God has gifted us uniquely in every single person. I think the way I've heard this expressed most brilliantly is like, you know, if there's a bunch of noses in the room, right? And an ear walks in, you know, talk about the body of Christ. The noses say, hey, it smells great in here. And the ear is like, but can't you hear like the ringing? And they're like, no, we can only smell. And it smells great, you know? So just be aware of that. Like,
awesome.
You know, I think part of being a leader is trying to identify what people are uniquely gifted in, and don't try to fit them inside of a box that you want them to fit in, but rather try to help them, you know, be able to lead in whatever they're best gifted in and strengthened in. So,
yeah. So when you're out there looking, you're going to see some people that come across your team and you're going to be like, man, they'd be amazing. somewhere else. And it's not that they aren't amazing. It's that you already have you. And once your team starts to grow, you've got 4 or 5 guys on your team, 10 guys, 12 guys. You might say, you know what? That's an incredible person, but we already have that position filled. You don't need 2-star quarterbacks when you don't have 1 running back. Right. So hire a running back. I think that's a great piece of advice. Thank you, Jim Shetler.
Number 3.
Yes, number 3 comes from Vance Pittman. He's a fellow pastor here in Las Vegas. A great guy. He's about 15 years my senior, and I've become friends with him over the last couple of years. Great pastor. Look him up. Follow him on Twitter. He said this. He said, you know, Josh, your primary calling in ministry is to be with Jesus, not go for Jesus. That is freeing as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel. He brings out the passage in Mark chapter 3 where Jesus goes to his disciples. Why did Jesus get disciples? Well, most pastors and most Christians would say, well, he needed disciples because he would only be here a couple of years and then he needed them to advance his name. So he went to get them so he could go, so they could go for him. Whoa. Before they were called to be apostles, they were called to be disciples. There's a difference. Before they were called to go for him, they were called to be with him. Notice what it says in Mark 3:14. It says, Jesus appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Sending out to preach is predicated upon being with Jesus. This is huge. God is more, I say it this way, Jesus is more concerned about the fact that you're able to spend time with him than you are preaching for him. He's more concerned this week. If you don't get up and preach on Sunday morning and everybody shows up and you're like, and church doesn't happen, that is less of a concern. And everybody's like, what happened? Pastor didn't even show up. So what? In comparison to you not showing up to your daily time with Jesus every day. The one is far superior than the other. Jesus, before he ever called you to go for him, he called you to be with him. That doesn't just tell you what he wants you to do. He tells you that tells you who you are. He likes you, and he likes you, and he loves you, and he loves you, and he likes you, and he wants you to be with him. So this is really, this is the fire that gets me up in the morning to spend time in prayer. This is the fire that gets me up in the morning to spend time in the Word, to be with Jesus. So the best piece of advice, I focus on that. So when I don't feel like I'm going for Jesus well enough, I'm like, well, at least I can be with Jesus. And Jesus is like, yeah, that's cool. That's all I really wanted anyway.
So be you, lead in your strengths, staff your weaknesses. Your primary calling is to be with Jesus, not go for Jesus. Number 4.
Number 4 comes from Sumner Wimp. This is my father's mentor. Sumner Wimp was a minister at Moody Bible Institute, Liberty University, a pastor all over the country. Great guy. He's with Jesus now in heaven. He said this, you are perfectly suited for the ministry to which you've been called. Now, this took place when I was sitting at dinner. I was a pastor for about a year. We were sitting eating crab legs together. He was in town. It was just me and him. And he said, how you doing, son? And tell me what's going on in the ministry. And I said, well, things are going great. He said, no, really. He put his crab legs down. He sucked off his fingers like a gross old man would do. And he said, tell me what's going on. And I said to him, well, and then something really hit me. There was a couple that we had led to Jesus Christ. We began discipling them, but they had fallen away from the church. And I can remember getting emotional. And I said, they haven't been in church for like 6 months. And I'm really concerned about them. And I tried my best to reach out to them. And then I began to tear up, and he noticed that. And I said, I just can't keep this thought out of my mind, because I was a new young pastor. If they had a better pastor, someone like you, someone like my dad, they would probably still be walking with Jesus. It was really a deep pain for me. And I'll never forget what he said. He looked across the table and he pointed his bony little finger at me and he said, son, you have to remember, you are perfectly suited for the ministry to which you've been called. He said, if God knew there was a better pastor to send them to, don't you think God would have sent them to that pastor? Therefore, if God loves them more than you do, and God would have sent them to a better pastor, he sent them to the only pastor who could help them as much as they were helped. You don't have anything that you need to properly minister to these people. you have everything you've been you need to minister to these people. So, man, that was so freeing for me. And all he was doing was validating what Paul told Timothy. Timothy must have felt the same way before Paul died. In his very last book to Timothy, Paul says, look, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, in righteousness. The word of God has been given to you. You have everything you need that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That means you have everything you possibly need to do all the work that you need to do. There's nothing else that you need. And so that has been a huge benefit in my life.
It's awesome. All right. Last one before we turn to the worst advice you've received, because I'm anxious to hear some of those.
Yeah, the absolute best piece of advice after all that was from my father, keep your family first. And you need to follow my father's ministry. You need to have dad come in to preach for you and teach you all these things one-on-one. You need to get connected with him. He's great with this. Or pick up his book, which is going to be published by the Idea Network very soon, Raising God's Kids in Sin City, because he talks a lot about how to keep your family first. And regardless of what happens with Southern Hills, I'm thrilled with what's happening with my three children and my wife. And I think that is great advice that has not always been followed among ministry leaders, but it's absolutely biblical.
Awesome.
All right, you ready for the worst?
I can't wait.
Okay. I have a bunch that I could share. I decided
noticed you
to
haven't
share
referenced
two.
Sources here.
So. I do not. I am not going to tell you where I got these okay, pieces of right. advice. But they were bad. They were bad. Maybe we could do a whole episode on this.
Sure.
But here's two. Worst piece of advice I ever got received as a minister. Here's one. Do what's right, not what works.
That sounds good.
Sounds fantastic. It's a terrible piece of advice. I'll never forget. I was a sophomore in Bible college. My brother was a senior. We were sitting in a large ministerial class, and we had a guest speaker. I could not tell you who it was if I tried, because I don't remember. But we had a guest speaker come in, and they were angry about something. You ever met a pastor that's just angry about something? They've been spending so much time with Jesus, they're always angry. This guy was angry about the world and angry about churches and angry about compromisers and angry about Christians and angry about his wife. He was angry about everything. He said, one of the things he said was, we need to preach from a pulpit of wood like Ezekiel. Preach from a pulpit of wood. He got up, or Ezra. Preach from a pulpit of wood. And it's one of these days, young men, this is what he said. One of these days, young men, you're going to be out there in the ministry. And you're going to think to yourself, you know, if I preach from a pulpit of glass, more people might get saved. He said, that's the moment where you have to ask the question, am I going to do what's right? Or am I going to do what works? And I'm like, wait a second. My baloney meter is going off the scale here. And then he gave example after example. He said, one of these days you're going to be out there, young man, and you're going to have to ask the question, am I going to do what's right? Or am I going to do what works? Now, here's the problem. The examples he was giving were things like preaching from a wood pulpit. The Bible doesn't say anything about preaching from a wood pulpit. That's absolute insanity. Just because Ezra did doesn't mean you're supposed to. Jesus preached from a boat. I guess we should follow his example and built a boat in every single one of the... That's finding your preferences. This is what legalists constantly do. They find their preferences in the Bible and they preach them as if it's scripture. It's not.
Yeah.
And so he went on a preferential rant. And depending on... I won't go into them, because depending on your denominational background, you have different preferential rants that people go on. But he went on a preferential rant about this and that and the other. And he kept saying the same thing over and over. Are you going to do what's right, or are you going to do what works? And the vast majority of the things that he considered right were simply preferences that he had codified as biblical. Well, you really have to question that. Immediately, my brother and I are sitting there and we're poking each other the whole time. Immediately, we go back to the room and call my dad. And we're like, Dad, this guy, we got to tell you what happened. So we sat there on the phone, laughed about it. And he's like, who was it? And we're like, we can't tell you. And my dad, I love my dad, because my dad never, for however many years, I've never heard him gossip. He will never talk evil about anybody. Mm-hmm. Never. Like, my whole life I've known him. Never is he. So we were laughing about this, and he was, and you know what he said to me? He said, look, you're going to come across people like that your entire life. The fact is, if you do what is right, it will work.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to choose between the two. Pragmatism tells you you're going to have to compromise a few things if you're going to get something done. That's baloney too. Legalism tells you you can choose between right or wrong, and you're going to choose to, or you're going to choose between right and your ministry being worth anything. Well, let's flush our lives down the toilet because it's the right thing to do. Whereas the reality is, like Dad said, if you do the right thing, it'll work. You just have to find out what the Bible says is the actual right thing.
Right. Not what somebody says is the right thing.
Yeah, dude. So like that was terrible, terrible advice. Yeah, man. You want the other one?
Let's do it.
I think we only have time for one more, but I'll give it to you. One of the worst pieces of advice I ever received was this. Steward your influence. You could go far. The reason that was such a bad piece of advice for me was because regardless of whether or not he meant it this way, this individual was playing into my deepest fears and lack of faith and a lot into my egotism and arrogance.
Sure.
He probably didn't mean it this way, but it definitely was not good for me. Ultimately, he was saying, you need to be careful of what you do because you could go really far in the Independent Baptist Network. You can go really far in the IFB world. So you need to steward your influence. That is, even, he didn't say this. He did not say this, but this is how I took it and the temptation that I faced for years afterward. If you don't do that, even though you feel God is leading you to do that, you're going to have great opportunity in the denomination.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that thing, even though God is telling you to do it, you're going to hurt your chances to preach in certain places. In fact, the conversation that we had went on to explain just that. If you do certain things in your local congregation, it'll limit your opportunity to preach within Independent Baptist circles. I remember when I went home after that conversation, I literally could not sleep. I stayed up all night. And when I stay up all night, I'm either reading the Bible or I'm writing out my thoughts so I can understand them more. And it was that night I decided that conversation actually that was to encourage me to not do anything outside the realm of acceptability within the denomination I grew up in.
Don't rock the boat.
Don't rock the boat. Because you could be a star, really hit me huge. And I made a decision between the Lord that I would be like Saul of Tarsus, who left his religious network that he was a rising star in, who lost all temple opportunities in the future so that he could follow Christ. I would not be bound by the fear of man and by the denominational preferences of people that would surround me. I would not sacrifice on the altar the ministry to Las Vegans so that people in South Carolina, Florida, California, or Wisconsin would be proud of me.
Mm.
I would not allow people to potentially die and go to hell in Las Vegas so that my denominational reputation could be advanced. That, to me, was one of the worst pieces of advice I'd ever received because, in essence, it was saying, make strategic decisions that will play well in Independent Baptist circles. And I am done. Well, I have been done for a couple years now. I am done making strategic decisions because it'll play well in denominational circles. And by the way, guess what's happened? You're not allowed in those denominational circles.
Sure.
And that's okay. That started with a guy named Saul, and it happened to Martin Luther. And it's happened to people throughout the ages, and that's totally okay because where you trade denominational acceptance, you begin to develop true relational friendship.
Right.
And I'd much rather have the other than the former. So that's some of the worst advice I've ever received, and I've got much more. Maybe we could talk about it another sure. time.
Yeah, I think about that last one, and you know, some people, the phrase is saying, you know, some people are so busy climbing the ladder of success, they don't realize it's leaning in the wrong building.
Oh,
and I think about that might be it, you know, for some of our friends that are listening. So thanks for being transparent, vulnerable, and sharing that piece of advice for us. And hopefully somebody was encouraged as a result.
Yeah, man, I'm thankful for what God has done in my life. I'm thankful for this episode. Episode 73 is not bad. I think we're coming quite a long way. If there was one piece of advice you would give our audience, Drew, like now as we close out this episode, what would that one piece of advice be?
You know, I think you've said it in a lot of different ways, but just follow the Holy Spirit, you know, and what he has for your life, regardless of who's patting you on the back or throwing stones at you. That's what I think.
I love it. And the one piece of advice I would give you is go buy the Idea Journal 2021.
There you go. I went spiritual, you went.
Well, marketing?
marketing.
Yeah.
It's all right.
No, but the reason why you do need it, here's why. I've read every single one of those chapters. I believe there's 13 in this one. And wow, like some of that stuff is true gold. And you're going to want to get your hands on it. You want to get your wife a copy, get some friends a copy. I think you're going to enjoy that episode. And I am looking forward to seeing some of you at the Idea Night here in Las Vegas. But there are Idea Nights all over the country. And so I hope that you find one, ideanetwork.church, and enjoy that community.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.